From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. On the sidelines of a two-day summit in Brussels, the European Union has signed significant trade and political agreements with Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova. The move has not been well received by neighboring Russia. The accord, which was originally thrown out by Ukraine's former pro-Russian president, set the wheels in motion that led to Russia's annexation of Crimea, and months of instability has followed. Moscow has warned it could scale back trade ties with the former Soviet republics as a result of the pact. Our correspondent in Moscow, Natalie Powell, reports.
The pact is being seen as a landmark agreement drawing all three countries closer to the European Union, but it's a commitment that has angered Moscow. It says the deal would damage Russia economically by rupturing trade ties. Russia has threatened to scale back exports and tighten its borders both to trade and to immigration. The EU, however, argues that these deals will not prevent the states from seeking close economic and political relations with Russia. Instead, the pact is designed to transform the countries into stable and prosperous democracies.
Additionally, the EU summit is set to confirm former Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker as the next president of the European Commission, despite British opposition. UK Prime Minister David Cameron says Mr. Juncker will block reform of the EU voted for by millions of Europeans in recent elections. But several British allies on the matter have changed tack and say they will now support Mr. Juncker's appointment. Sandra Gatman is at the summit in Brussels. She says David Cameron has run out of support.
He seems to be isolated in his campaign against the former Luxembourgish prime minister and many of his fellow colleagues, the Dutch prime minister Mark Rutte, Sweden's Reinfeldt, even German Chancellor Angela Merkel have all appeared slightly flaky on their support for Mr. Juncker. But it now appears that when it comes down to it, and Mr. Cameron is forced perhaps to take a vote on this, that they will all support Juncker.
The first American armed drones have begun flying above the Iraqi skies, but U.S. officials say it could take several weeks of aerial surveillance and intelligence analysis before they begin striking militant targets in Iraq. Washington correspondent Daniel Wrenches reports.
The first contingent of U.S. forces has begun the process of gathering data on the movements and capabilities of the Iraqi militant group known as ISIS. 300 deployed personnel in Baghdad are working from a joint operations center with Iraqi forces. A U.S. aircraft carrier and several other warships are also in the Gulf. U.S. officials say the 30 to 35 manned surveillance planes and drone aircraft will help them, over several weeks, build up a full picture of the militant group's activities and weapons stockpile.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. The Obama administration has announced it will take steps to join the treaty banning landmines. More than 160 countries have signed on since 1999, but the U.S. has resisted joining, despite being the largest donor to landmine removal efforts. Priscilla Huff has more.
The Obama administration has announced it is diligently pursuing steps to get rid of its estimated stockpile of 10 million anti-personnel mines. The goal is to eventually join the United Nations Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention, often called the Ottawa Convention. The treaty was first agreed to 15 years ago, with 160 countries joining. But major powers, including China, Russia, and Iran, are not signatories. Campaigners are not entirely satisfied with the announcement, saying the U.S. should set a date to join the mine ban treaty and start to destroy its stockpile.
Facebook has revealed details of a U.S. court order forcing it to hand over the data of almost 400 users. The unprecedented request demanded the social media site give up photos, private messages, and other information as part of an investigation into disability benefit fraud. Rebecca Bowering reports from San Francisco.
The social network says the request was by far the largest it's ever received from a government body. The sweeping search warrants were issued by a court in New York last summer. Facebook argued they were unconstitutional, but its appeal failed. Facebook says the government obtained gag orders which banned it from discussing the case until a fresh appeal made it public. 381 people were accused of fraudulently claiming disability benefits when their Facebook account showed they were in fact healthy. 62 were later charged. Facebook was defined as a digital landlord in the case, meaning it had to comply with search warrants.
For the rest of today's news, you can follow us on Twitter at Feature Story. And that's the latest from Feature Story News. Rebecca Foster reporting.